How's Movember treating you in general? Are you excited to? You're halfway through.
I think it's important, and I wore a mustache when I played, and I wore a mustache when I was in law school. So it's not totally familiar, but it's been a long time, and I've been told alternatively I look like Wilford Brimley or Captain Kangaroo.
Well, I get told I look like Freddie Mercury, so I'll take Captain Kangaroo over that. Yeah. So.
That's not
so
bad.
Neither one of those is flattering. I don't know if it's going to survive December 1st or not. We'll see.
Now, Brian, the big question all Leaf fans are waiting for you to inform us is, what's the update on James Reimer, and when can we possibly see him back between the pipes for the Leafs?
We don't know, and the answer to the question is the exact same answer that I get when I ask our medical staff. We don't know. He's day-to-day, but he's been day-to-day for, 3 weeks now? He has persisting concussion-like symptoms. As we've divulged from the get-go, he was not concussed, but he has headaches that persist. And we don't know if it's whiplash. We don't know if it's, it could be attributed to something completely different. We don't know. What we do know is, until he's asymptomatic, he cannot do off-ice workouts. Until he completes off-ice workouts, he cannot go on the ice and so on. The protocol for concussion-like symptoms is the same as the protocol for concussion.
Brian Burke, our guest. I know you commented yesterday and you used the word, well, it's not an epidemic with regard to goaltenders being contacted. A lot of attention, obviously, given to what happened with Milan Lucic and Ryan Miller. I'm not going to ask you to comment on the Shanahan ruling. Beyond the fact that it's changed, we evolve in sports all the time. What's a happy medium that would protect goalies but would also not take away from an opposing player like a Milan Lucic chasing, furiously after a loose puck?
No, I'm free to comment on the ruling. I think Brendan Shanahan made the right ruling with the law that exists to that point in time. There have not been suspensions for running goaltenders. There's nothing in the rule book that says a charging penalty on a goaltender is any different than a charging penalty on a defenseman. And he said to us, I want your guidance on this. And the group was pretty adamant that the goaltender needs to be protected more. You got to understand a goaltender for a number of reasons that all make sense. First of all, the goaltender is the only player in the game who has no chance to retaliate. He can't hunt that guy down later in the game and body check him or fight him. He doesn't wear equipment that's designed to maintain, to absorb contact. He wears equipment that's designed to stop the puck. So he doesn't have protective equipment on that's like the same for a player who's going to deliver body contact hits. And we don't practice contact with our goalies. So he wouldn't know how to body check a guy if he tried. So they need to be protected. And I think the group said to Brendan and to Terry Gregson, maybe consider a 5-minute penalty there, which is in the rule book. That's not a rule change. And maybe consider heightened awareness on supplementary discipline.
But if you have a player, say Phil Kessel, who has this exceptional speed, Brian, and he's racing for the puck to score a goal that could win a game, you can understand where he might not be able to get out of the way at the last second.
Yeah, but that's where we trust Brendan Shanahan's judgment. It's not like Shanny never had skates on. So it's that's where we have to trust his judgment, where I don't think Milan Lucic was playing the puck there. I think he saw an opportunity to run Ryan Miller and took it. And I like Milan Lucic as a player, and I like him as a person. So I'm not picking on him. Mm-hmm. And it's a good thing both teams are in our division, so no one can say I'm trying to get a leg up on one of the teams in the division. But I didn't like that hit. I was vocal about it in the meeting. And I think the consensus was we don't want that hit in our game.
I know you really wanted Lucic and Miller both suspended for 30 games each. That would have satisfied Brian Burke. Your team at home, the last four games, they've not played like they did in November, like they did in October. They've been outscored 20-5 in their last four home games. What are you seeing them not doing, especially out of the gate in games, Brian, like last night that they were in October?
Well, we needed a save last night, I think, on one of the first two goals. And I don't think there are too many teams in the National Hockey League that could lose their starting goaltender, their clear number one, and maintain momentum. So I think that's the biggest thing. The second biggest factor for me is that our second line has been underproducing right from the start of the season. And Phil Kessel and Dion Phaneuf and Joffrey Lupo carried us for a while. But at some point, the lack of production from the rest of the lineup catches up with you, and the Grabowski, Kuhlman, MacArthur line has been totally ineffective. And that's been the biggest problem for us, not for lack of effort. Mm-hmm. I'm not calling these guys out because they're not trying, because they all are. But definitely not getting it done. And last year, that was our bread and butter. If they could shut down Phil, then the second line would put the points up. And this year, they're just not producing.
And now your secondary scoring took another hit last night, Brian, with injuries to Grabowski and MacArthur. Who's the top candidate to get called up from the Marlies to fill the void?
Well, we expect Tim Connelly to come back, so that'll take care of one spot. And then beyond that, you know, the best forward player for the Marlies, other than Joey Crabb, has been Joe Colburn, but he's not 100%. We could probably put him in, but I hate putting rookies or young players into situations where they're not 100%. I think it really kind of almost always fails, and it's hard on a player's confidence if he's going out in his first or second or third NHL game and can't go 100%. So we're going to get medical reports today on both players. We may or may not need to bring up a body, and we'll see.
Brian Burke is our guest. I take it when you made the trade for Lombardi and Cody Franzen, I know your coach picks the lineup, but you would not have expected Cody Franzen to play four of the first 18 games. There's probably no mystery here, but clarify the situation. Is it just other players have outplayed him, and right now he's your seventh best option, who's an NHL defenseman, to play in these hockey games?
Exactly. That's that simple. Jake Gardner surprised everybody. The other guys have outplayed him. Gunner's worked into a reliable partner for Dion. Mike Komisarek has been excellent since he sat that game out. I think he got focused. He's been terrific. He's been pushed to the bottom of the depth chart by superior play of other players. That being said, I'm getting deluged with trade offers for him.
Yeah.
And we're hanging on to him. Unless someone blows our doors off. I told Cody this. We brought him here to play. No one thought, I'm going to touch wood when I say this. I just walked my kids to school, if you wonder what that noise was.
Yeah.
I just touched the tree. It's amazing we've played this many games and haven't had a defenseman injured. So you know what happens. You guys know this. Jim and Greg, you know what's going to happen if I trade a defenseman.
The guy's going to get hurt.
I got seven. I trade one and get the six. The guy gets hurt. Plus, we've lost Matt Lashoff, who was a prime call-up candidate and was really good for us at the end of the year. He's done for the year. So now our next option would be whether it's Corbinian Holzer or whether it's Keith Ollie. And Keith Ollie's battled an injury, and we want to get him to 100% before we punch a hole for him as well. So I'm not planning on doing anything here unless it's something that we have to do.
Cody's probably not pleased. You wouldn't want him to be pleased sitting out 16 games. But at the same time, everything's been kept in-house. He has not asked to leave. He's being patient through this scenario?
Well, he should. Our team's played well. We're stumbling a little bit now, but our team's played well. A player that complains about ice time when the team is winning is a selfish player, and he's not selfish. And my guess is, since he played in Nashville last, that Ron's going to go with him. I haven't asked Ron that, but my guess is he'll get to play tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we still expect Cody Franzen to make a big contribution here.
Brian, with James Reimer's status up in the air, is there any desire on you and your staff to get a veteran backup goalie to add some depth until he's healthy again?
We're exploring those options for sure. And I told James that I met with James last week and said, if you you have to understand here that if this doesn't resolve itself in short order, we're going to have to sniff around and see what's there. I'm not sure what the price tags are. I'm not sure if any of it makes sense. But, yes, we are exploring those options.
We're lucky to have you this morning because there have been conflicting reports about Marty Turco.
We have no interest in Marty Turco.
What I had heard was Marty Turco's agent contacted you to see if there was interest, and you summarily have told him there isn't any.
I'm not going to say who contacted who or who called who. All I'm telling you is we have zero interest in Marty Turco. None. Nada.
Yeah. Give me your take on realignment, because we ask other general managers who may be affected, the Scott Housens, the Ken Hollands. What's a great solution for the growth of the league? You've worked for the league. You know how important it is to grow and yet have a fairness level and still maintain traditional rivalries. What works best for the league, and is it ever in conflict with what would work best for the Maple Leafs?
No, Larry Tannenbaum has made it very clear to us that he's going to vote with what he thinks makes sense for the league. And it is truly an owner issue. You know, I'm GM speaking freely about it. In my mind, this is something that Larry Tannenbaum and Ontario Teachers Pension Fund gives me my marching orders on how I'm supposed to vote. I will tell you this, because we were asked our position on it at the last meeting. The current system works very well for us. The issue of going to four conferences, all right, that's one of the suggestions, go to four conferences, and there's two issues. We've got 30 teams. That doesn't divide by four. Mm-hmm. So you'd have an 8-7 in the West or an 8-7 in the East. Right off the bat, you've got a disparity if the playoff teams are picked in conference, which is part of the deal. So that if you're the number five team in a strong eight-team conference, you could easily be better than the number four team across the way and miss the playoffs. And the schedules aren't balanced that way. So that's problem number one. It has forget what it does for us, geography, rivalries. Problem number one is there's a lack of fairness in that schedule. Second problem for us is, in that schedule, every team in one conference plays all the other teams home and home, which is crippling travel.
Yeah.
Not just for the Toronto Maple Leafs. We probably have less crippling for the Anaheim Ducks. If they're in whatever 8-team conference or 7-team conference and they got to play every team east of the Mississippi home and home, good luck. So those are our issues. If those issues can be allayed somewhat, or if they can come up with a four-conference format that does include home and homes, you know, we're open to suggestions and we want to vote with a league hat here, but it is truly an owner issue. But those are the two stumbling blocks. As a hockey guy, those are my problems with the four-conference schedule.
We have 40 seconds. With the non-traditional markets, would it ever...
Hey, just blow through the commercial break. Don't worry about it.
I love doing that, actually. That's the problem. That's why I keep hopping around. But let me ask you this. You'd know this better than me. Would ticket sales and revenue, would TV, would it ever make up the difference in terms of getting more people in non-traditional buildings, knowing they in Dallas, knowing you're seeing Crosby when he's healthy, Ovechkin when he's healthy, getting those dates instead of this?
That's fine. You get Crosby, but you get Florida too, and Florida's playing very well right now. I'm just saying, that's a team people would have said a year ago they didn't want to see. You get, you know, whatever traditional bottom teams that you don't want to see, or teams that don't have a star player, you get them too. That argument cracks me up. Someone says, oh, we'd love to see Ovechkin every year. I said, I noticed you didn't ask for us every year. You asked for Ovechkin every year. I'm worried about the product and the wear and tear. I know fans want to see every team every year. I appreciate that. But the added travel, if our team had to play every team outside our conference home and home, I don't know what that does to our budget. If it doubles it or it makes it 180% or 250%, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know the product suffers, and I know we'd have a bunch of guys on IR. And then fans would be saying, well, we went to see our favorite team and four guys are hurt.